Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, I am particularly mindful this morning that you don't need me to communicate your word. And you can get your message across, if necessary, with a donkey. So I'm asking that you would make sure I don't get in the way of what you want to say this morning. We are inviting you to open our hearts to your word. We have your word open now, and we are listening, and we ask you to speak. It's in your name, Jesus, that we ask. Amen. We're going to, I want to look at this phrase, do not speak against one another, brothers. That's the opening phrase, of course, of those verses, and the rest he kind of unpacks some things about that. But different versions, Bible translations of yours, say do not slander one another, do not speak evil of, do not speak evil against, do not criticize. So that word speak against must have some varied meanings. And the Greek word that it comes from is basically a preposition added to the verb, and that preposition is either down, so you down speak, or either you against speak. It can be used both ways. So do not down speak one another would be very, very little, or do not against speak one another, James is saying. And from that very literal, or how that's the etymology of the word, then the word came to be understood as defame, disparage, revile, express hostility toward, give an evil report. It's quite a loaded term that James picked up here. And you'll notice that he uses it three times in our verses here. And then, of course, it's used elsewhere in the New Testament. Not a lot, but we come to this usage of the word, then, don't slander, defame, disparage, revile. You know, this is the range of meaning for this word. Don't speak against, one translation. Don't slander. Don't speak evil against. You get the picture. So it's here a simple statement, a very simple statement, one sentence. Do not speak against one another, brothers. Notice the brothers. Who then is he talking to? Talking to believers and how they treat fellow believers. Do not speak against one another, brothers. That's his simple statement, and the balance is his reason. Why? Why not? Well, let's look at the logic of how James works through the logic there. Don't speak one another against one another, brothers. Why? Because the one who speaks against a brother is actually one who sits in judgment. You see that? Or the one who speaks against his brother or judges another, let's call it what it is, James seemed to be saying. The one who speaks against his brother or judges his brother, and I've chosen that sense of sitting in judgment over his brother, is one who speaks against law and sits in judgment over the law. And if you sit in judgment over the law, you're not a doer of the law, you're a judge of it. And what are you doing that for? Because there's only one lawgiver and judge. It's the one who's able to save and to destroy. And you, who are you to sit in that position as lawgiver and judge? Well, who are you to sit in judgment of your neighbor? So you can see how James makes the simple statement, don't speak against one another, brothers. Why? Because the one who speaks against a brother is actually one who's judging his brother. And whoever judges his brother speaks against the law. Now, is he talking about the Old Testament Mosaic law and do all the washings and all of that? Most commentators don't believe he is. James, of course, is a follower of his half-brother Jesus Christ and is leader in the church of the redeemed, according to the New Covenant. And he talks in his earlier in his letter about the law of liberty, the royal law, and probably the best understanding of law here is he's talking about the moral law of right standing before God. You have right standing before God by means of Christ's payment for our sins. Now, how do you right live according to that? So the one who speaks against his brother actually sits in judgment against his brother. And if you're going to sit in judgment against your brother, you're actually, James says, sitting in judgment against God's law. Why is that? Because God is the one who said multiple times in the scriptures, you're not to sit in judgment against your brother. You're not to defame the name of your fellow. You're not to defame the name of God. That's the law, the sense of law. So if you sit in judgment against the law, you're not a doer of the law. You say that you're a follower of Christ and you want to honor God with your law, with your lives, but you're not living that way. You're sitting as a judge. You've removed yourselves and you have a throne here and you're looking down not only on your brother, but you're looking down on God's principles, God's law. If you're doing that, you're not a doer of the law. You say you're walking with God and you want to obey his law. You're not that. You're sitting as a judge. And why would you do that? Because there's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. It's the one who's able to save and to destroy. And who are you to sit in judgment? So we might summarize it this way. Don't speak against a brother, because it's a usurpation of authority to sit in judgment over another. There's only one lawgiver and judge, and it is not you. So who are you to sit in judgment? Okay, you got the sense of the meaning there? What happens when you talk down, if to literally go with that word, when you talk down or you talk against or you speak against your brother? Well, you've set yourself in a position, basically, as judge, to have full knowledge of the situation and to be able to make a completely fair and unbiased decision. Have you ever said something about so-and-so and you made a rather declarative statement about what they did and why they did it, only to realize later, oh, I only knew part of the story? That changes everything when I got that rest of that information. When you speak against a brother, James says, he says, you are acting as judge. You are sitting in that position where you have all knowledge, and you're able, like God, to make a completely fair and unbiased decision. You have all the knowledge that you have necessary to you to make that completely fair and unbiased decision. Do we? Well, we don't, do we? But when you speak against your brother and you effectively sit as in judgment over against your brother, that's what you're doing. You've set yourself in a position to have full knowledge and to make a completely fair and unbiased decision. Secondly, you take as rightly yours the authority to condemn those who should be condemned and to reward those who should be rewarded. James says, see, when you make that kind of a judgment against your brother, you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself as the one who has the right to make such a condemnation, to make such a reward when they do it right. Are you sure? James seems to say, are you sure you really want to be doing that? Now think about it a minute. What's so wrong with a person making a judgment about another person? What's so wrong with a person saying that person is a dirty, rotten rascal and so on and so forth and he deserves punishment? I remember asking my dad when I was a middle schooler, why is it so bad to say damn? And I knew it was a word that I didn't dare try out, but I just thought, you know, there's got to be a reason for this. You know, I knew better. But, and I remember, Dad, I remember the intersection in the car we were in, which car we were in, the intersection of the road when Dad gave me the answer. He said, because no human has the right to send another human to an eternity in hell. And that's why we as followers of Christ don't like that word. We don't like a human saying, damn you. Because that human has no business doing that sort of thing. And we especially revolt against a human saying, God damn you. Because we have no right to tell God to do that sort of a thing, do we? And that's the problem, the moral problem with that. But when we sit in judgment against our brother, when we back up off the even playing field and we take that high royal seat and we sit in judgment over that person, we have effectively done the same thing. We've said, I have the knowledge and I have the authority to condemn who should be condemned and to reward. And God says, and James says, no, you don't. You don't have that authority. You don't want it, and you sure don't need to be acting like you have it. And notice that phrase, to save and to destroy. It is God. There's only one lawgiver and judge, verse 12, the one who is able to save and to destroy. To destroy. That's rather strong language, James. All I did was say the guy was a nincompoop. Why? What are you telling me? But actually, every time I chip away at this person, I speak against him, I sit in judgment over him, I've taken some measure of him and destroyed it. His reputation, his character, or her personhood. God, remember, valued that person enough to send Jesus to the cross for that person. And I'm going to chip away and speak against. You see why God has a problem with that. You see why James says, folks, you're not just doing an uncivil thing by speaking against your brother. You are doing what God says don't do, because only he has the right to make that kind of a judgment. Only he has a right to destroy. Now, you remember, just a quick thought on destroy. You remember the Apostle Paul, he said, he was talking about offending the brother who was weak, and he said these words, things, I will not destroy with my food my brother. So even the Apostle Paul, was he thinking he's going to destroy him by giving him, you know, poisonous food? No. He knew that there was some level of destruction that happened to a person when he caused them to stumble. So James and Paul are both saying, you know how you treat your brother. You're chipping away a little bit at him. You're destroying just a little bit of them. Be careful, he seems to be saying. Well, I am so glad that I'm part of Woodland Hills, and I don't know that we have this gangrenous problem of people backbiting and speaking against one another, slandering. And you know, I feel so good about that that I was about to give myself a check mark, and the check mark didn't make it. I was about to give us a check mark and me a check mark. You know, that's right. Don't speak against. I need to remember that. But about that time, it seemed like Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, let's look at this a little closer. Uh-oh. Does that happen with you? When you get that little, let's look at this a little closer, do you know trouble's coming? Let's think about this for a minute. If we take these phrases, talk down, run down, speak against, if we take those phrases as our kind of working definition, what are ways that good people, and I'm talking about people we're sitting with this morning, what are ways that good people might talk down or run down or speak against fellow believers? Now, I'm talking about us toward our fellow family members, you know. I'm not talking about so-and-so over there that does all the bad stuff. I'm talking about it's just the ways that this thing might sneak in and get us. I want you to think about that a minute. We're short on time. I was going to have you discuss that, but I'm going to give you some thoughts here. How about if we just discount? What if we just discount somebody verbally? You know, this often happens when the person is removed. They're not with us, and they're not here, and I'm talking to you about so-and-so, and I might discount somebody. I might say, you know, Alice tries hard, but she just doesn't fully comprehend the problem we're dealing with. You see how I spoke against Alice there? You see how I chipped away at her just a little bit? I discounted her. I sat in judgment, didn't I? I said, I know the situation, even though Alice doesn't. I know the situation, and she just doesn't fully comprehend the situation we're dealing with. You see how I did that? That one snuck up on me, and I said, ouch. How about this one? What if I marginalize someone? You know, I like Frank a lot, but Frank's got issues. Frank's a nice guy, but he's really got issues. He needs to get help with those issues. Did I just kind of push Frank to the side? Did I just sit in judgment? Did I just speak against Frank to you and make you? How about if I impugn the motive of someone? Well, I wonder what his real reason for doing that is. I heard what he said, but I wonder what his real motive is. Did I just impugn his motives there? Did I just stand in judgment over him? Do you think God's happy with that? How about if I question truthfulness? Well, Peter says it's because I just chipped away at him, didn't I? I partly destroyed something of Peter right then. How about this one? When I prayerfully mention someone's faults, we need to pray for Susie. She's lost yet another job. I talked her down, didn't I? I ran her down. I just needed a couple of words, but I was effective in that, wasn't I? Just that. She's lost yet another job. How about when I'm sarcastic? Right, Harry's going to figure it all out. How about when I belittle someone? Oh, he just now figured that out, did he? I know none of y'all ever say these things. It's just probably me, but I just thought I'd tell you some of the things I say since none of y'all do these things. How about when I use a little humor to make a put down? Boy, when they were handing out brains, he thought they said train, so he said, no, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I've said every one of these. And I've said them with intent to demean. I'm really ashamed of that. I didn't realize. I should have. I didn't realize. I was speaking against one for whom Christ died. I was putting myself in that throne chair that had the right to make these kinds of judgments. How about when we speak with contempt? You're kidding, right? Sally? And you've got the little sneer of the lip comes up and you, Sally? See how I did that? I just belittled Sally to you. I just demeaned her. I just chipped away. I did a little bit of destruction on Sally right there to you. And I probably involved you in it. And God says, when you do that, you are sitting in judgment. And I'm the one who has the right to destroy. I'm the one who has the right to save, not you. Friends, I think this thing sneaks up on us more than we realize. And we speak against one another, and God says, I do not like it. Here's what I think we should do. We need to watch our tone of voice and our facial expressions and our body language. I don't think people at Woodland Hills go around doing this stuff on gossiping and slandering like you think of when you originally think of those words. But I think you and me, we probably are guilty of some of these kinds of ways where we're speaking against a brother, not outright, but we're doing it. We didn't set out to do that, but we're doing it, and it is sneaking up on us. And our tone of voice and our facial, just takes a raise of the eyebrows, right, Sally? What did I communicate to you? Body expressions, face, roll those eyes. What did I didn't even use words, did I? And I demeaned somebody. You mentioned their name, and I said, I didn't need to say anymore, did I? Lord, help us, right? We do not need to be sitting in his position, sitting in judgment over others. We do not need to be speaking against one another. Let's stand, shall we? Oh Lord, would you help us? I'm the chief of sinners this morning, and I repent, Lord. And I'm sorry. I need to go back to that table and remember what you did to forgive not just me, but the brother, the sister that you love so much that you sent Jesus Christ to die and forgive. And I sit in judgment, and Lord, I'm sorry, and I want to be different in that. And I think my brothers and sisters here do too, and Lord, we need your help, and we're asking for it in the enabling name of Jesus Christ. Amen.